You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 81. Pardon the disruption.
So this week, this is the year of the 3D printer. They're taking off. People are getting excited. So I have these two articles that I wanted to throw out there. This is where we're going to get into the real rapid fire stuff. One was this dude who built this 3D printer using sand and the sun. He basically goes out into a desert with this giant table. It's got a huge Not magnifying. It's basically a magnifying glass, but it focuses the sun. A lens.
Sure, sounds like a magnifying glass.
Yeah, it works just like a magnifying glass, but it focuses the sun down to a tiny little point. And then he's got
like a laser
solar panel thing on it that powers the motors, and he basically is able to what?
Like a laser.
Like a what? Yeah, pretty much.
Laser.
I know. It's. You're gonna have to give me 1 second. I'm gonna switch.
Yeah, I'll give you all the time you need.
It's driving me nuts, man. I'm playing volleyball with my internet, trying to keep on one that actually works. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, and he's basically sintering sand, and then he just uses sand as the material, and it melts it all together. And it's this really simple project. It was a proof of concept type thing, but it's unique, and it's like, man, it works all totally on solar panel, and it uses raw materials. That's the sort of thing you go to the surface of the moon, you bring that up there, and you start lasering stuff out. Yeah, so it's a cool concept. You could see that sort of thing being done in maybe the distant future, but the future. The other big one is that they're finding that hospitals are using 3D printers in the operating room, or at least a couple of rooms over, where they'll take because you could take your 3D MRI of an organ, they'll print the organ out. And the example that they gave was they're doing a liver transplant on this kid, and they wanted to figure out where they were going to have to slice the liver before they went into the operating room. And by taking the MRI and then printing out a model, they were actually able to figure that all out and have these really successful surgeries. So hospitals are getting in on the game, and, man, it's moving already. It's exciting. I like it.
3D printers coming to you in 3D.
It's awesome.
That is cool. Yeah. I love it. What's not cool, that's what the FBI is up to.
Yeah.
There's an article in Wired. It's called "The Secrets of FBI Smartphone Surveillance Tool Revealed in a Court Fight." So apparently the government has a secret surveillance tool that they use to survey people. And there was an identity theft, and I think he was named Daniel David Rigmaiden. We'll call him that. And apparently they were trying to track him down and where he was and, like, pay attention to his stuff. And it's like the classics. They got the tower coming off the top of the van and stuff like that. But they worked with Verizon Wireless to help track down this suspect.
Yeah.
And Verizon actually went and because they knew the person's, his airport card or whatever it was called. Because they knew who the customer was, they had a signal sent in the background to his card to turn on his location settings.
Oh, geez.
Ping back its location so that they could figure out where he was.
Oh, geez, that's terrifying.
And then once they installed this new thing, anytime an incoming voice call arrived, the card would disconnect from any legitimate cell tower, which it was already connected to, and then send the real-time cell site location data to Verizon, which then forwarded it on to the FBI. And then they were able to position their stingray in the neighborhood that he was in. And you know, and
you know, and I take them down, I realize that
Jurassic Park reference, just so you know.
I appreciate it. Did you see it in 3D?
I did not.
Oh, dude. It's so good.
Was it awesome?
I'd never seen it in a theater, so it was great.
We were just young enough where our parents were like, probably smartly so.
No, yeah.
You're not going to
see it. I was like 9 at the time, and it was like a solid PG-13. People
I remember our cousin of your same age saw it.
He didn't. He claims he didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, he went with us because both of us were like, this is
he just may not remember it, but yeah. Anyways, I remember someone our age saw it.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, I'm so jealous because they were like, it's so loud and awesome.
It is loud and awesome. There are all sorts of lines that you don't even hear, too, like people talking in the background. It's, okay, the opening scene with the little kid, like, it looks like a giant turkey to me. When he says that line, there's somebody in the background that goes, that kid's a little firecracker. I'd never heard the line before. It was so funny. I was like, that's awesome.
So what you're saying is I got to watch all my movies with the audio cranked.
Yeah, yeah. And don't forget to have it remastered before you do that.
Kid's a firecracker.
Ridiculous. Anyways.
Well, what I saw Top Gun in 3D, yeah. I was all of a sudden, I could make out everything that was happening in the background.
Right.
And so I found myself actually not watching the movie, but watching the background. I was like, what? There's people in the back doing that? Cool.
That's funny. Anyways, so wait, we're totally out. So this is terrifying because I realize this guy's a bad guy. And so like, cool, we took down the bad guy.
He's a suspect.
Yeah.
Innocent until proven guilty.
You know, yeah, exactly. That's actually the point, is that he's not a bad guy until he's proven to be a bad guy. That's terrifying. I don't like that at all, man. This world is, it's unavoidable though. That's the real problem, is it's like, you have nothing as an individual. As an individual, there's nothing you can do about it, man. Big Brother is watching.
So what the government has long asserted that it doesn't need to obtain a probable cause warrant to use their device because it doesn't collect the content of cell phone calls and text messages and operates like a pen register and trap and traces, whatever. Basically, it gets the equivalent of like header information. However, they did concede in this particular case they did need a warrant because it reached into his apartment remotely to locate the air card. And so even though they were like everything was signed off by a court and the magistrate. But it's a very interesting, like, A, you can do that.
Yeah,
and then
geez.
B, you just did it? You didn't ask permission or have to sign a warrant or anything. So yeah, it was just this very, we're entering into the future where these types of things are now possible.
Yeah.
And the real question is going to be, how far are we willing to go? Not can we do it anymore?
Right.
And this is just one of those like, pre-crime is on the way. All right, cool.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, I saw that and was like, wow, fascinating. Way to go, Verizon.
I know. Be
the scumbag we always knew you were.
Right? I mean, there's smart engineers that work there.
The truth is a tricky subject in their corporate office. Yeah. You know, what is best for the user? That's a great question.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Fun times. So MIT is using DNA to make patterns on graphene so that we can make integrated circuits out of graphene.
It's like the miracle compound, isn't it? It's the new silicon.
Silicon nano, or not silicon. Well, it's the new nanotubes. So the problem right now is that graphene, like, so the nanotubes issue was like awesome because it's like this miracle material. It's got all these amazing properties. All we had to do is figure out how to manufacture it at scale. And
all we need to do is figure out how to make the elevator.
Right, exactly.
Using nanotubes. That's all we got to figure out. It's easy. I already got the idea. We're halfway there. The other half is just execute on it.
Exactly. Oh my God, that is one of the greatest onion sketches of all time. but so they, so basically what the problem is that with silicon nanotubes, no, carbon nanotubes, silicon nanotubes are different.
That's good.
But with carbon nanotubes, the problem that we were running into is that it's like, it's just, it's got all these awesome properties. If you could figure out how to actually, you know, use it and make it cheaply, it'd be great. But we never did. Graphene is also this kind of miracle property. Once again, bunch of carbon. We love carbon. But if we could figure out how to use it, it's potentially could radically change all these different industries. And so there's right now, there's a lot of people that are really looking for ways to get it to replace stuff. You know, we talked about the supercapacitors. Well, one area that would be really awesome is to use it as a semiconductor or use it in the semiconductor, industry. And they're having one of the parts of the semiconductor process is creating patterns so that you can do all your different doping and whatnot. And they're having like this really crazy hard time doing it. And MIT just like, I don't even, dude, this stuff blows my mind. Basically what they're doing is they're taking DNA and different chunks of DNA. They're building them all together. Or they're like putting them into a little petri dish or a test tube, more likely. And they all kind of come together. This crazy video, guys, you should watch. It's actually kind of fun to watch. But they, as the different, they have DNA sequences that will, one DNA will latch, will strand, will match up with another. And they can build these blocks based on which DNA strands that they're putting in there. And then these blocks can be used as patterns. And they have these, like, all these different nanostructures that they can build. They can do, like, and they were showing off all the different stuff that they can make. And they're these 3D structures. And then they coat them in graphene. And it's just crazy. But what's really exciting about it is that this actually has some real potential as a cheap, affordable, and fast way of doing patterning on graphene, and might actually allow us to build integrated circuits. It's just nutty. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. But it might actually work. So that's kind of cool, and we'll keep an eye on that.
Keep going, graphene.
Oh, baby. So there's a global version of the Galaxy S4. There's two different versions of the Galaxy S4. There's the one that's coming to America, and then there's one that's coming to Korea, and then there's one that's going to the global market. The global market
America one's the best, right?
Nope, it's the worst. Hmm. The one that's coming to America has LTE because they think that's what we want, but it's got it has the slower main chipset. The global one has this, like, 8-core processor in it. It's just nuts. And it's like, it's crazy fast, but it doesn't have LTE. And then the one that's going to Korea, going to the hometown,
it's got both.
Yeah, it's got, what they said is they can make the LTE 8-core processor all integrated and it works, but they can't do big runs of it. So they're letting that one come home. They're giving us but because they think we're stupid and don't like fast processors and just want LTE, which they're right, that's what we want. they're giving us that one. And much of the tech community is frustrated that they don't get the super fast 8-core super phone. But
just buy a Korean phone. Done.
Exactly. Boom.
I don't know how you do that. I just made it sound pretty easy. I'm pretty sure that's not easy to do.
Use your Bitcoin.
Oh, no, ship it to the U.S.
Online.
I'm totally from Korea. Yeah.
I'm going to ship it. You ship it to the U.S., and then I'm going to ship it on to Korea. This is just a temporary thing.
Yeah, it's good. I'm on vacation.
Exactly.
Ship it to where I'm at. Don't worry about my permanent mailing address. It's okay.
So, all right. So Yahoo stock is rebounding, finally. That's kind of exciting.
Really?
Yeah. I actually went to yahoo.com the other day.
And?
Their mobile site? I didn't get it. I still don't get Yahoo. I mean,
Please.
I hope it's obvious this point.
It's you and me.
I hope it's obvious by this point that I use a bunch of different services. I use a bunch of different, you know, I try to use all the cool apps. I try to use all the cool websites. I try to know and understand why people use different stuff, even if it's not for me. I don't get Yahoo. Who uses Yahoo? I don't get it. Like, what is it? It's just a news site, right? I mean, that's it. And it's
fantasy,
like a news
sports.
Oh, yeah, I guess. And, like, weather and stuff. Is it just a bunch of different random services, and that's, like, their thing?
Well, I think that's the problem that they're dealing with, right, is it is a bunch of just random services that they're selling ads on, and that's how they generate all their revenue. And they are trying to coalesce around a unified strategy, right? Like, you know, Google, obviously, their whole thing is they want to put the world in order. Right. And, you know, and they're getting a little bit away from that, which is interesting. But that was, you know, it was search is obvious. We want to index the web. You talk about like Gmail is we're putting your messages in order, and a whole bunch of their other services, you know, calendar, we're putting your schedule in order, whatever, you know, we can go on and on. It was all related to this idea of ordering data and information. And now Google Plus is about putting order to your friends and,
right,
and the cross section of how you interact with your friends with all of the data. Cool beans. You know, and so that's kind of the unifying
theme principle.
Principle is, you know, and Yahoo doesn't have that right now, and they need to try to find what that is. I know some people have talked about you know, Facebook owns your friend graph.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Google owns. They just own your search life, which is a good one to own. Yeah. And so they were talking about could Yahoo potentially own your interest graph? And they have this potential gold mine in Flickr and combine that with a bunch of other stuff. So they just bought that messaging app and then that other one by that 19-year-old or 16-year-old or whatever it was.
The summary.
Yeah, Sumly.
That's right.
You know, and so is it possible that they could go after your interests somehow? You know, yeah, you do go to them for your news and your entertainment, and that's okay. And, you know, and could they, I don't know, I mean, like, they're competing against Reddit and Dig.
I was going to say, you know what the problem here is that I use Reddit, and I think that's the real issue. And, you know, that's been a big theme this week.
But not everyone is willing to do that or put up with that community, right? They want the Huffington Post style of just give me the big clickbait news items.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with those big film stars? And, you know, for a lot of people, that's all that they need, that they care about.
Point.
Not everyone's a news junkie, and Reddit is really designed for people who like to consume a lot of information.
Yeah, the fire hydrant.
Yeah, yeah. Whether, you know, and they're looking for some goofy, funny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah. So, anyways, you know, so that's there. So, I think, really, when you're seeing that stock rebound, it's really just a vote in confidence in Marissa Mayer saying, yeah, we think that she's got a good head on her shoulders and she's smart and she's trying to do things like that.
Not to mention that they actually made profits this quarter, which was kind of a big deal. I mean, combined, it was, you know, Marissa Myers was I think it stopped the spiral on the stock, you know, the vote in confidence in her, mm-hmm. but to have her actually make any money, like, whoa, okay, let's get back on board. This is awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, but if nothing else, man, I have been talking about Yahoo's like suddenly in my face again. Like, I don't get it yet. I don't use it for anything.
They don't have that killer service where you're just like,
yeah,
I want to use them for this because they're the best in the world at this.
Right. But,
I mean, and a lot of the service that we use them because they're the best at it, and they don't have the best email client. I think they have a calendar client. I think they have contacts. The business news, a lot of people claim that they are. For, like I said, the big news items, they obviously don't have the best search engine anymore. Do they have the best fantasy sports? Some would argue yes.
That's a good point.
You know, and they're all inclusive in that kind of stuff, which is nice. So I think they don't have the best photo sharing service anymore. but they used to, and they dropped the ball massively, and they're kicking themselves for that one.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. They need to figure out what their core strength is going to be. What do they want to be the best in the world at, and then go and do it, and then defend that, you know, vigorously along the way, selling ads and keep doing what they're doing with the other stuff, and work on continuous improvement on those other services so that they're slowly getting better and better, so that when you go there for whatever that killer app is, and then you start checking out the other stuff, you go, ah, you know what, this isn't half bad. You know, I don't think Google Finance is like amazingly better than Yahoo Finance. Yeah. But true. I'm already in the Google ecosystem. I like the colors, their schemes, and I'm like, oh,
no, you know what? It's so true. The colors play such an important part in which financial people I get my information from, which is the dumbest way to look at it. I mean, it couldn't be more stupid. But that, like, I like the yellows and reds and greens over the purples. It's crazy. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So all that to say, I think that they're.
It's cool. I'm glad to see them making money again. I mean, I don't. They are the old guard of Silicon Valley. The old guard. They've been around for 15 years, whatever. It's cool to watch that turnaround happen. That, you know, companies don't have to become dead companies. Yahoo!